Today's sermon text comes from Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses. This is a story with which you may be familiar, but hear it anew, as if perhaps for the first time. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks this day for this story which has been preserved for us for hearing this day, a story of you as an infant, so young, so helpless, and so at risk from all the world's evil schemes. We thank you for the story of these wise men who traveled from so far to worship you. You, our Messiah, came not just to the Jews, but to the whole world. And for that we give you thanks. Open our eyes to this passage as we reflect on it together. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Happy New Year, 2013. I can hardly make sense of that number. It's so big. I can't believe it's already this year, 2013. I don't know if anyone has asked you this yet, so I'll ask you, have you made any New Year's resolutions? This is the thing that some people do, and others say, like Joe, saying, no, I don't make any. If I can read her facial expression, it means I know better than to make any New Year's resolutions. Because if you've made any New Year's resolutions, here's the follow-up question. It's January 6th. Have you broken them yet? It seems to me that most of the time when we make these New Year commitments, it takes about a week for us to lose steam and to say, well, that was fun, but we're going to go back to life like normal. Maybe, I don't want to quench your optimism in the New Year. I'm a closet pessimist. But maybe if you're still going in your New Year's resolutions, keep it up. Who knows? Maybe you'll make it through the whole year. Like I said, I'm a closet pessimist anyway. It's a new year. It's a time for us to reflect on the past year that has gone by. It's a time for us to look forward into the year that is to come and to set new goals for ourselves, for our families, for our church, to wonder what the new year might bring. It's kind of a cultural thing. Today is just the same as it was a week ago, but suddenly our eyes are opened to a new year, and so we wonder what might come. It's part of our nature to consider these kinds of things at this particular time of year. It's also part of our nature to inevitably fall short of many of those goals that we set for ourselves. It's just so easy for us to do that, and that's normal. So rather than thinking about what kinds of New Year's resolutions we should make today, I'd like for us to think about one new resolution that perhaps all of us can follow as individuals, as families, even as a church. And it's just simply this. Let us follow carefully the voice of God in all that we do. Let us follow carefully the voice of God in all that we do. Now, I'm speaking metaphorically about the voice of God. I'm not calling on us to listen with our audible ears for an audible voice. For some people, they understand how God works in the world in that way. You can hear something, you can hear a voice from God leading you in a certain way. For many people, that's not the case. That's not what I'm talking about, to say, let's listen for God's voice. It's not listen to deafening silence too long. But let's listen in our inward ears, our hearts, we call them. Let's listen with our hearts for what God is calling us to do in this coming year. There are many voices in our world that compete for our attention. And the problem with many of our New Year's resolutions, in the secular world anyhow, is that they often are about us. They are created by us, they carry our desires, they carry our hopes, they carry our voices. Let us listen carefully for the voice of God in all that we do. You see, there's a very strong scriptural precedent for this. And this is the common thread that connects Numbers 9, the passage that Shane read for us just a minute ago, with Matthew 2, to the New Testament reading for today. In Numbers chapter 9, the Israelites, we got the message, we got the point. They moved through the wilderness as they were on their way to the promised land. This is after they had left Egypt in slavery, and now they're wandering through what we call Saudi Arabia today. They're wandering aimlessly, trying to find something, just waiting for the day that they would arrive at the promised land. If only they had had a map. But God didn't provide that for them. He just provided them a pillar of cloud at night and a pillar of fire at night. Cloud at day and fire at night. So they knew where he was. And wherever he was, that's where they went. If he moved, they moved. If he stayed put, whether it was for a day or 2 days or a month or a year, they stayed put. Let us listen carefully for the voice of God in all that we do. These wise men who came from the east, maybe from Iran, in that region, east of Israel anyway, somewhere in probably still the Middle East, these wise men from Matthew 2, who are they? They're astrologers. They look at signs in the sky. They follow stars. They're not Jews. That's the point. They're not in the circle of faith as the Old Testament understands it. They're not the people of Israel. But they are sensitive to the voice of God, you see. They're traveling to Jerusalem to meet the newborn Jewish king. They're traveling to Jerusalem to meet the king, the Messiah, the son of David, who will sit on the throne of David. This story has contained in it so many echoes of another story from the Old Testament, when a son of David sat on the throne of David and received visitors in Jerusalem who brought gifts to him. That king's name was Solomon, the son of David, the actual birthed son of David, the actual literal son of David. He was king in Jerusalem, and he received a visitor from, not from the east, but here this time from the south. The queen of Sheba came to visit him. It's recorded for you in 1 Kings 10. You can read it sometime. The queen of Sheba comes, a dignitary from a foreign land, comes to Jerusalem to visit the king of Israel, the son of David. She comes to test him because she's heard he's so wise. How wise are you? She finds out he is just as wise as the stories were told of him. And so she presents him with gifts of gold and of many different kinds of spices. these wise men travel from so far away and present gifts that are fit for a king, gold and frankincense and myrrh, to one who is very much not appearing to be a king, a baby, not of the line of the kings anyway. He's not going to sit on a royal throne. That's already occupied by a fellow named Herod. He's not of Herod's dynasty. He's not even related to him. Not even close. He's living in a house. May very well have been the same house where the shepherds came to visit him just a little while ago. Could have been. He's living in very humble circumstances. He's born to a working class family. He's not part of the ruling class. And yet he is the one to whom these wise men are directed. They come to Jerusalem first because that's where kings live. They live in the capital city. Imagine Herod's surprise. Where's the king? I thought I was the king. Bethlehem, you say. Well, let me find out where he is in Bethlehem so I can come and worship him too. You remember God knows something about the pain of losing children. God knows that feeling too. These wise men engaged on a long, costly, sacrificial, and perhaps dangerous journey in order to worship this newborn king. They listened carefully for the voice of God, even though they were not part of the circle of the family of God at that point. This passage can bring us a word of comfort that God speaks to all kinds of people, and he sets the course for life for us. He leads us to worship him, whether we are in the desert, wandering as the Israelites were in Numbers, or on our way to Bethlehem. Wherever we find ourselves, God is leading us to worship him. It's a word of comfort for us. But there's also a word of challenge in this passage for us. And that is that if we listen, really listen for God's voice, we may find ourselves as well called on a long, costly, sacrificial, maybe even perhaps dangerous journey. One of my favorite movies of all time, because it's about baseball, is entitled The Field of Dreams, which was filmed in Iowa. Jason is from Iowa. Dyersville, Iowa. It's set in the middle of a cornfield, quite literally. The Field of Dreams, a story about a man who owns a corn plantation and decides, through a random series of events, to plow some of it down and build a baseball diamond. And it's really kind of a bizarre thing to do, but they actually literally did this. I visited it. It's in the middle of Iowa there. Dyersville, I think, is the town where it is. Was that eastern Iowa? To us, farther east, Iowa's just a state out there, but it's eastern Iowa. Okay. There's a ball field there in the middle of this cornfield. The fella in the movie plows this field down so that he can see some of the old baseball greats again. He's hearing these voices that say, if you build it, remember the iconic line from the movie, if you build it, he will come. And he thinks it's Joe DiMaggio or Shoeless Joe Jackson or one of the old baseball greats from years gone by. And this is kind of bizarre and kind of weird in a sense. He builds this baseball field, and sure enough, these old ghosted baseball players come back from the cornfields and play again as if they were in their prime. And it's just fantastic stuff. If you build it, he will come. Ease his pain. Go the distance. All these lines that the character hears, Kevin Costner's character hears, as he's building this ball field. But it's not about baseball at all. It's not about the old baseball characters of yesteryear that have died. It's about his dad. It's a story about a father and a son having a catch on the baseball field. My family and I took a trip to Iowa for a few different reasons, and one of them was to stop in Dyersville, Iowa, and my dad and I had a catch on the field of dreams. He's got a picture of it there in his office. I was, you know, that high. Anyway, we had a catch, because this is what it's about. The movie's about fathers and sons connecting and restoring relationship and having a communication, having a shared experience, having life together that's meaningful and something worth remembering. A long, costly, sacrificial journey that in the end is really about listening for the voice of your dad. In the movie, it was about finding closure in relationship. What if the course of our lives was determined by this quest to hear a voice from our dad? What if the course of our lives was about having a catch with our father? A give and take with our father, where we ask him for certain things, or we say certain words to him, or we hear from his word, but we also listen for his voice. What if our lives were about that? Going on a journey so that we might live in giving and taking relationship with our Heavenly Father. What if we made a new resolution as individuals, as families, as a church, to listen carefully for the voice of God and to follow carefully that voice in everything that we do? What if we took up the long, costly, sacrificial, and perhaps dangerous challenge of fulfilling our mission as the people of God? What is our mission as the people of God? The way I understand it at this point in time, the way I've been communicating about it with you lately, is that it has two major ideas, two major prongs, that we grow in Christ-likeness, we grow in discipleship, we become more like Jesus, and we reach out to our community around us, sharing the love of Christ, sharing the message of Christ, sharing the wealth of Christ with the world around us, in the name of Christ. You see, that's exactly what the wise men did. They, the emissaries from a land far off in the east, came to Jerusalem and then later to Bethlehem to reach out to others. They gave these expensive gifts to Mary and Joseph and the baby. I wonder what they did with them. There's no mention ever again of all of these tremendous gifts that these people received. I wonder what happened to those. But these wise men traveled to give the gifts, reaching out to their community in the name of the Messiah. And they grew in Christ-likeness through this experience too. What other king made a long journey from home, one that changed his entire life so that he could bring glory to God? You see, the wise men are an example of who Jesus is himself. One who has come from heaven itself to bring godliness to us, to show us who God is, and to sacrifice himself for the glory of God. The wise men imitated the baby whom they came to visit. So we should imitate him and them. Let us follow carefully the voice of God in everything that we do. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks this day that you are worth following, that you are worth giving gifts to, that you are worth worshiping. We give you thanks that we can know you and be known by you. Help us, Lord, in this new year to set our agenda according to your word, that we might hear your voice and respond to it in ever-living and ever-growing relationship with you. Speak to our hearts this day and every day this week and into the coming year, so that whether it takes a day or a month or a year for us to hear your voice and know where to go and what to do, we would be ready to do it when you call. Strengthen us. for the journey, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray these things.